This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Fast-tracking gun laws. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, March 18th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Prime Minister of New Zealand is promising quick action on new rules regarding guns following Friday's mass shootings that left 50 people dead.
Flooding in parts of Iowa, Nebraska, and Missouri has sent thousands of people fleeing their homes in the wake of a storm known as a bomb cyclone.
The college admissions cheating scandal is again raising the question of whether or not standardized tests are fair. That report in about 10 minutes.
And the new way to wean yourself of your smartphone? Get a second phone that has fewer features.
Some consumers feel like they've maxed out on their smartphone. They either feel addicted to social media or that the device sort of owns their life and they're trying to take a break. And the best or cleanest way that they have found is to just buy a second, simpler device.
Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krauss on the unusual attempts to stop smartphone obsessions. She's here in about 20 minutes. In the wake of mass shootings at a pair of mosques that killed 50 people, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said earlier today that she would announce new gun laws in the next week and a half. She says her cabinet reached decisions in principle on gun reform laws in the wake of the country's worst ever mass shooting.
We have made a decision as a cabinet. We're unified. There's simply details to work through. These aren't simple areas of law. And so that's simply what we'll be taking the time to get right.
Ms. Ardern said the shooter had emailed a manifesto to more than 30 recipients, including her office, 9 minutes before the attack, but it gave no location or specific details. A 28-year-old Australian named Brenton Tarrant was arrested and charged with murder for the shootings Friday in the city of Christchurch. Under New Zealand gun laws, A-category weapons can be semi-automatic, but limited to 7 shots. Video of a gunman in one mosque showed a semi-automatic weapon with a large magazine round. Spring snowmelts combined with the rains from a so-called bomb cyclone storm have pushed some rivers in the Midwest to record levels while forcing hundreds of people to evacuate. More rain is in the forecast for tomorrow. The governors of Nebraska, Iowa, and Wisconsin declared states of emergency. Roads and highways were closed. Amtrak said some trains in the region were delayed, others canceled. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds.
This is worse than even what we saw in 2011, and we're just getting started.
AccuWeather says the Missouri River between Omaha and Kansas City could remain at or near record levels through most of this week. In Nebraska, Offutt Air Force Base was under siege from water. Base officials finally called off a furious sandbagging effort, saying the water was rising too fast to be stopped. Much of the base, home to almost 9,000 service members, was underwater yesterday, open to essential personnel only. Federal prosecutors and Department of Transportation officials are scrutinizing the development of Boeing's 737 MAX jetliners. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Wall Street Journal says these are unusual inquiries and come at the same time investigators are looking into how regulators gave safety approvals for the new plane. The journal says a grand jury issued a broad subpoena dated last Monday to at least one person involved in the plane's development. That was one day after an Ethiopian Airlines 737 MAX jet crashed shortly after takeoff, killing all 157 people on board. Aviation authorities are looking into whether the anti-stall system may have played a role. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The Journal says it's not clear whether the probe by the Justice Department is related to scrutiny of the Federal Aviation Administration by the DOT Inspector General's Office, reported earlier yesterday by the Wall Street Journal. That focuses on a safety system that's been implicated in the October 29 Lion Air crash that killed 189 people off the coast of Indonesia. It is 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With all the recent news about online security breaches, it's hard not to worry about where my data goes. Making an online purchase or simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider. Not only can they record your browsing history, but they often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from your info. That's why I decided to take back my privacy by using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of my computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. So if you ever use public Wi-Fi and want to keep hackers and spies from seeing your data, ExpressVPN is the solution. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Gordon. That's expressvpn.com/Gordon for 3 months free with a 1 year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Gordon to learn more. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. The recent college admissions cheating scandal has again focused the spotlight on standardized tests like the ACT and the SAT and raised the question, are they fair? If not, is there a more reliable way besides your high school GPA for a college to predict if you're a good academic fit? More from Eliza Shapiro, education reporter at the New York Times. Eliza, what did you look at?
So we really took a look at, okay, this college cheating scandal has really surprised and shocked the country. But short of bribing or cheating your way into a college, we wanted to look at basically what's legal. So we focused on the SAT and the ACT, which are really basically the two most controversial exams in American education, in American life. So how does this multi-billion dollar test preparation industry play into how kids actually do on these tests? Are these tests gameable? Are they fair? I mean, I think educators and policymakers have been debating about the SAT and ACT for years. And what I really heard in my reporting was people saying this could be a watershed moment where we've already seen for a few years some big universities like University of Chicago backing away from the SAT and ACT, making it optional in a student's admissions package. And what some advocates are saying is this could be a tipping point in which you see many more schools going test optional because there's so much skepticism and controversy over these exams since, you know, parents were able to pay proctors to impersonate their children and get a high score, all of that. So these exams are really, really under the spotlight now.
Right. But as you point out, I guess these standardized tests like the ACT or the SAT have been fairly accurate predictors of a student's future success. So then what's the school to do?
Yeah, so this is really where the rubber meets the road. I spoke to lots of testing experts who said, listen, there is no perfect standardized test. Tests, even the highest quality tests with the fairest content, they are predictable. You know what's on them year to year. You know what concepts are on them. You can prepare for them. But they said a lot of research has found that if you pair a student's SAT or ACT score with their high school grade point average, those two factors combined will give you a pretty good sense of how well those students will perform in college. So a high school GPA, some studies have shown, could be an even better predictor. But since every high school in America has a slightly different grading system and some high schools are more rigorous than others, a lot of experts believe having one standardized measure is really important. So you have these experts, you know, who study these tests, giving us that perspective, but you also have a lot of frustrated and confused parents and kids here. So I think we're sort of seeing the two sides of that debate coalesce a little bit.
We're speaking with Eliza Shapiro, education reporter at the New York Times. She's written a piece entitled College Cheating Scandal Shows Standardized Test Isn't Always a Fair One. So you referenced high school GPAs. Of course, there are critics now who say too many schools are handing out A's and B's like candy in some cases.
Exactly. Well, here's a whole nother element of this debate, right? What about grade inflation? If we scrapped, or, you know, the SAT and ACT, or which is unlikely, but at least made them optional for more schools, we don't know how much grade inflation can play a role if a kid is giving a school a whole slate of A pluses. And I reference in the story, there's a recent study that showed it's actually the most affluent schools that have had the highest incidence of grade inflation. So that's sort of another unknown element that clouds this debate. I mean, I think it goes back to the idea that there is no perfect, ungameable system here, right? That's why the academics and the experts say the SAT may be, and the ACT may be, as close as we're going to get.
Thanks, Eliza. Eliza Shapiro, education reporter at the New York Times. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a Christchurch gun shop today acknowledged selling guns online to the 28-year-old white supremacist accused of killing 50 people in mosque shootings that have upturned New Zealand's reputation as among the world's most tolerant and safe nations. Gun City owner David Tipple says the store did sell four guns and ammunition to Brenton Tarrant through a police-verified online mail order process.
The MSSA, the military-style semi-auto reportedly used by the alleged gunman, was not purchased from Gun City.
New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says gun law reforms will be announced within 10 days. Ethiopia's transport minister says preliminary information from the flight data recorder of an Ethiopian Airlines plane that crashed a week ago and killed 157 people shows clear similarities with an earlier disaster involving the same kind of Boeing aircraft in Indonesia. The crash of Ethiopian Flight 302 on March 10th and that of a Lion Air plane in Indonesia in October, both of them Boeing 737 MAX 8 jetliners, have prompted the U.S. and other countries to ground the aircraft. A large fire that broke out yesterday morning at a petrochemical storage facility near Houston was still burning into the night, and the plant's owner warned that it could continue to do so through this morning. The fire at the Intercontinental Terminals Company facility in Deer Park was initially reported around 10:30 a.m. local time. ITC spokesman Alice Richardson says officials have asked 33,000 local residents to remain indoors.
An evacuation has not been ordered at this time. However, the city of Deer Park continues with a shelter in place.
Officials are monitoring air quality from the fire, which emitted a huge plume of thick black smoke visible for miles. No injuries have been reported. Time to start filling out your men's NCAA tournament bracket. The field was announced last night with Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, and Gonzaga named the top seeds. Conference tournament play led right into the bracket reveal with Michigan State taking the Big Ten crown. Greg Daniels had the final call on Compass Media Networks.
The final horn blares, and the Michigan State Spartans are the 2019 Big Ten Tournament champions.
Duke is the 9-4 favorite to win it all.
Sparty. I caught the tail end of that game on
that
the radio.
That was a great game.
Man,
great
oh
game.
Man.
It's what? Too bad they didn't get a one. They should have had a one seed.
Michigan El Foldo. What happened? They're up by 13 like in the second half.
All three games they played, they lost a big lead.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, this year. Yep.
Tough to pick in the tournament.
That's going to be great.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Some of us experiencing smartphone fatigue are renegotiating our relationships with our devices. A growing contingent is embracing a new crop of minimalist phones to wean themselves off premium models that keep them constantly connected. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krause on buying a second phone to reduce your addiction. Sarah, what's going on?
Some consumers feel like they've maxed out on their smartphone. They either feel addicted to social media or that the device sort of owns their life and they're trying to take a break. And the best or cleanest way that they have found is to just buy a second, simpler device, whether that's like an old school flip phone or this new breed of sort of credit card sized or smaller devices that have very limited functionality so that you literally can only use it to make calls or send text messages.
Wow. All right. So some of these folks having I guess an aha moment at some point in their life. Was it like Apple showing you how much screen time you have every week? I love that feature.
Yeah, there's a couple different threads of it. Some are just concerned that social media itself is sort of robbing them of interpersonal connections, that when they're with their kids, they're not being fully attentive, or when they're with their partner at dinner, they're looking down at their phones. Other people are concerned about some of the recent data privacy scandals at big internet and social media companies, and some people just say that, hey, these smartphones, the latest generation of them, are huge and clunky, and I don't want to carry them around everywhere with me when I go out to dinner or when I go to the gym. So is there something smaller that keeps me connected but is less clunky to carry?
Wow. So these minimalist phones are made by who generally? Is there like a new breed of them?
There is a new breed of them. Some are made by upstarts. There's a Swiss company called Punkt that released its first phone that is very simple. It has a small sort of dark screen, makes phone calls and texts, and the newest version can actually be turned into a hotspot to tether to other devices, but the phone itself has no applications on it. And then there's another one called Light, which is based in Brooklyn, New York. They make credit card size phones, and their first one just made calls and texts. And the second device that they are working on now does start to flirt with the line of greater functionality in terms of having like a ride-sharing option or a music option, but they're trying to keep it sort of as simple as possible. And then there's Palm, which has it is a smartphone. It is called a companion device that shares a number with your primary smartphone. So you can stick it in your pocket. It's much smaller than a full smartphone, but it has the same functionality, just on a very small screen.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krause about her story entitled Smartphone Addict's New Tactic to Break Their Habit, Buy a Second Phone. So these minimalist phones cost how much? Are you in for a big splurge here?
It is a little bit of an indulgence. So some of them are in the $300 to $350 range. So it's not the same as going to Target, say, and buying a $30 or $50 flip phone. It is more of an investment than that.
Thanks, Sarah. Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krause. She says there are signs we're less inspired for the newest smartphones as other devices like smart speakers duplicate some of their functionality. Smartphone shipments worldwide have been falling since late 2017. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
It's no secret around here. I like things my way. My way keeps our customers happy. My way keeps us on budget. My way keeps this place running. And my way means ordering from Grainger. They've got what we need when we need it. With simplified checkout, dedicated customer reps, and knowledgeable product experts, I can order online, on the phone, or at a branch the way I like it. My way. When it comes to effortless ordering, Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, March 18. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. New Zealand presses for more gun control after Friday's mass shooting. Flooding and evacuations in parts of Iowa, Wisconsin, Missouri, and Nebraska. Tesla raising prices an average of 3% after previously cutting them by 6%. Field of 68 is set for the NCAA tournament. The games known as the First Four are tomorrow. ESPN says the Dolphins have signed quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. And the woman who turned to the internet for help when she couldn't find her boyfriend at Disney World. That story in about 20 minutes. The prospects for a Republican rebirth in New England in 2020 are dim. Democrats control all 21 of the region's House districts. And Simone Pathé, senior politics reporter at Roll Call, says only two of those present a realistic pickup opportunities for Republicans. And in a presidential year, both start out leaning toward Democrats. Simone, what are you hearing?
Go back to last fall when the last Republican in the House was defeated. That was Bruce Poliquin from Maine. He was defeated in a fairly contentious election, actually went into overdrive and was the country's first use of what's called ranked choice voting. So fast forward to 2019, the 116th Congress, and there are no Republicans in the House from New England. The only Republican left is Susan Collins, the senator from Maine.
Wow. All right. So what has happened here? Is there anything unique in New England that's going on?
Yeah, so obviously President Donald Trump does not go over super well with Republicans, moderate Republicans, which is what we often think of as kind of the typical demographic, right, when we're talking about conservatives in New England. But actually, talking to Republican strategists, what was interesting to me was realizing that the Republican base in New England is just as conservative as it is elsewhere, and you can see that clearly by looking at some of these primary results. Donald Trump, for example, he crushed a former Ohio Governor John Kasich in the Massachusetts presidential primary in 2016. Likewise, in 2018, the Republican nominee for Senate against Elizabeth Warren, he won a three-way primary, and he had been the state chairman for Trump's campaign, obviously went on to a pretty stunning defeat at the hands of Warren. But that just goes to show that Republicans who actually do vote solidly Republican in New England are fairly conservative. The problem for the party at large is that there's just not enough of them. And it's sort of a problem of self-selection in that folks who have felt ill at odds with the party have left. They've become independents. They might even have become Democrats. And so from a sheer voter registration perspective, it's just really hard for the Republican Party to make up gains in any of these seats.
You said, too, the slow death of New England Republicans in Congress predates President Trump. Is there a specific time where there seemed to be a significant slide?
You know, it's gone back and forth. This is not the first time that there haven't been any Republicans from the region. After Chris Shays lost from Connecticut, there was also a low point. Then they climbed their way back a little bit. There are two districts that are really the ones where Republicans have made gains in the past and where they could again in the future. One is in New Hampshire. This is a perpetual swing district. You may recall it actually swung back and forth between the same two opponents four times. That was Carol Shea Porter, the former Democratic congresswoman, and Frank Ginta, the former Republican congressman. The seat is held by a Democrat now. I would say Democrat tilt advantage probably for 2020, but it's certainly a place where Republicans have done well in the past. It's a district that President Donald Trump narrowly carried, and they do have a chance going forward to pick it up. The other one where I'd say they probably have an even better chance is in Maine. Recall that Maine has two congressional districts, and they actually split their electoral college votes. And this most northern district is the bigger one. The second, Trump actually won that district by 10 points despite losing the state. This is the seat that Paul Quinn, who I mentioned earlier, that's the seat he lost last fall, so it is held by a Democrat now. But given its sort of conservative DNA, this is a place where Republicans will be heavily targeting come next year.
We're speaking with Simone Pathé, senior politics reporter at Roll Call. Her piece is called "Can Republicans Make Up Any Ground in New England in 2020? So Republicans, I think you point out, are doing fairly well on the state level in New England. Does that have the chance to translate into results in 2020 and say on Capitol Hill?
I would say not. I think the trends that are going on at the state and federal level are fairly distinct. There have been a lot of Republican governors in New England. There's actually three right now. Massachusetts itself is known as a pretty liberal state, right, but has a record of electing Republican governors, moderate Republican governors. And that's really because at the state level, the executive of each state has more room to distance themselves from the national party, whose brand is fairly toxic and unpopular in the region, in a way that folks who are being elected to come to Washington, D.C., just do not. It's a lot harder to argue that you can distance yourself from the president if you're also coming down here to serve in the quote-unquote swamp.
Thanks, Simone. Simone Pathé, politics reporter at Roll Call. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know we might be taking a calculated risk by buying secondhand furniture from a thrift store, but we don't expect one of those risks to be a haunting. That's what one store in North Carolina was warning customers, mulling over a couple of pieces of furniture recently. The Habitat for Humanity Restore of Rowan County posted photos to Facebook showing a queen canopy bed frame and high boy chest of drawers that the previous owners said were haunted. The note posted on the pieces read, "Please note, previous owner reports that the high boy is haunted. He reports continuous nightmares for he and his wife while it was in their room. He also reports the dogs would not stop barking at
it."
Yeah. The store's operations director told local TV that the post, which has since gone viral, has led to a flurry of attention for the pieces, specifically because of the potential for supernatural activity around them. The items were eventually purchased by a couple for $1,000 who don't seem to care that they may be haunted, though if they are, they hope that it's a nice ghost.
Oh.
I guess that's what we're all hoping for, sure.
How could you... I guess you could hope that.
but there's not the much fact you can do about it.
Is apparently causing nightmares for the current owners, and
yes,
the dogs won't stop barking at it. Doesn't strike me as nice.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like...
Like dogs sense these things,
yeah,
right? Dogs know.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they really did their due diligence here.
Wow. But that's a great marketing tool, isn't it?
Yeah.
You need to sell something online, just say it's haunted.
Right.
Price automatically goes through the roof by nut jobs who want to have this stuff in their home.
Right, this wouldn't exactly have gotten a lot of attention otherwise from this little store in North Carolina.
Right.
And, Gordon, we're not sure what's causing this trend, but it appears that we're seeing a definite uptick of heroic stories related to Taco Bell hot sauce recently. You'll remember the story we told you a couple weeks back of the Oregon man who survived for 5 days trapped in a car with his dog with nothing to eat but Taco Bell hot sauce packets. The pair are now enjoying free food for a year from the chain. Now, onlookers are crediting a man's love of the same hot sauce for taking him out of the way of a potentially fatal accident. Local TV reports that an elderly man crashed his car into a Taco Bell location in Winter Haven, Florida on Saturday. Thankfully, no one was injured, but investigators say a customer had been in the exact spot where the SUV crashed, but had just gotten up to get more hot sauce when the vehicle plowed into the side of the building, proving once again that Taco Bell's hot sauce saves lives.
Oh, brother.
On a related note, apparently I must be a big fan of hot sauce enough that my children have taken notice. So my children and I go to Taco Bell on our way back and forth from like swimming and karate and stuff like that. And I guess, they notice that I always have a lot of hot sauce on my food.
Mm-hmm.
And actually for Valentine's Day, my one son, snuck a couple of hot sauce packets into his pockets. And then for Valentine's Day, gave me a little note like, "Happy Valentine's Day, Dad," with a hot sauce packet taped
That's
to the
great.
Other side of it.
Yeah.
So I guess, hot sauce becoming a big thing everywhere.
Very good. Well, you got to keep them like in your glove compartment or your console or something.
Apparently you get stranded on the side of the road. You're going to need these things. They last forever. You know, why not keep a few in your glove compartment?
That is it's a difficult marketing approach for Taco Bell, however.
Yeah.
They just need to leave this alone when it takes on a life of its own on social media.
Well, sure, yes.
Given the circumstances. Very good. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Day one for a new employee. Instead of joining in productively, they face a confusing, disjointed process and piles of paper forms. With Kronos, you can automate the entire onboarding process, creating a better experience for employees and freeing you to focus on the human part of your job. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/onboarding. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Glad you're with us. On the health front, the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association now say that most healthy people should not take aspirin to prevent a first heart attack or cardiovascular disease. They say the risk of serious bleeding outweighs the benefits. Both organizations said yesterday at a conference in New Orleans that low-dose aspirin should not be given on a routine basis for the purpose of preventing heart attacks and other heart disease in people 70 and older or adults of any age who are not at an increased risk of bleeding, or rather who are at an increased risk of bleeding. These guidelines apply to people who have not been previously diagnosed with heart disease. The new guidelines say low-dose aspirin may be considered to prevent heart attacks in adults ages 40 to 70 who are at higher risk for cardiovascular disease but not at an increased risk of bleeding. People at higher risk include those with strong family history. Aspirin, the pain reliever, became increasingly used for the purpose of preventing a first heart attack after studies in the 1980s and 1990s showed a benefit. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
40 residents in part of southwestern Iowa have been forced out of their homes as a torrent of Missouri River water flowed over and through levees, putting them in a situation similar to hundreds of people in neighboring Nebraska who have been displaced by the late winter flood. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds.
Every levee south of Council Bluffs to the Missouri border has been breached.
Heavy rainfall and snow melt have led to dangerously high water in creeks and rivers across several Midwestern states. Several deaths have been blamed on flooding. New Zealand Police Commissioner Mike Bush says the gunman who killed 50 people and wounded others at two Christchurch mosques acted alone but may have had support. Bush says Australian white supremacist Brenton Tarrant was arrested moments after the shootings on Friday.
I want to definitely state that we believe that there was only one attacker responsible for this horrendous event.
Meanwhile, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says gun law reforms will be announced within 10 days. She says cabinet ministers had met and made an in-principle decision to tighten gun ownership, but details still need to be worked out. An appeals court will consider the constitutionality of a struck-down Kansas statute that had required people to provide documents proving U.S. citizenship before they could register to vote. A three-judge panel will hear arguments today in Salt Lake City in a case with national implications for voting rights. Kansas is appealing a ruling that found its law violated the constitutional right to vote. The state faces an uphill battle to resurrect the law, championed by former Kansas Secretary of State Kris Kobach, who led President Trump's now-defunct voter fraud commission. Dick Dale, who's pounding power chord instrumentals on songs like Miserloo and Let's Go Trippin', earned him the title King of the Surf Guitar. He's died at age 83. And Dale liked to say it was he and not the Beach Boys who invented surf music, and some critics say he was right. Dale's fingering style was so frenetic that he shredded guitar picks during songs, a technique that forced him to stash spares on the guitar.
Wow. Very good. I mean, good that this was a little history lesson that you
there
provided
you go.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
That clip you played is in a
Pulp Fiction.
I was going to say in a Black Eyed Peas song also that I recognized there. Wow, very good. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. Well, one couple's day at Walt Disney World quickly turned into a game of hide-and-seek. Fox News says Brittany Blake and boyfriend Gregory Turco had visited the Florida theme park Friday. However, Ms. Blake ended up spending most of the day searching for Mr. Turco. Hours into her search, she turned to a special group for Disney annual pass holders on Facebook, where she asked others to help her locate her missing beau, whose cell phone battery had died. She also posted a photo. She asked, if anyone sees him, can they tell him to meet us at the Mexican Pavilion? The post gathered over 1,300 comments in 2 hours. The comments and searching continued until minutes before the park closed. 3 hours after he went missing, Mr. Turco was found standing in line for the Frozen boat ride attraction. The woman updated Facebook by saying, Mr. Turco was drinking all day while looking for me. Mm-hmm. Then came the Facebook commenter's advice, like, always have a designated meeting place if you get split up and can't reach each other. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.